name, we do thank you for this opportunity to just praise your Son. Lord, to have the Spirit just have free reign. And Lord, in bringing us together, oh, what a joy. Oh, what a thankfulness. Lord God, this tightly compacted and tightly fit group, Lord Jesus, that again, it's you. It's this little portion of a rib portion. And Lord, thank you for this privilege, Lord God, in this day, in this age. Oh, such glory. And Lord, thank you. You're causing my hands to strengthen this morning. Lord, I want to run even the more. Lord, thank you. I want to win your Son. And Lord, I do. We give you the praise forever and ever and ever. We know this is you. And quicken every life, Lord God. Wake us up. God, if we're slumbering even a bit, Lord Jesus, cause us to know that we are loved with such a great love. Help us not to miss it. We thank you for your tenderness and your grace and all that mercy, Lord God, the mercy that bestows all the riches of your glory upon us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of James. And as you turn there, I thank the Lord. I believe we're getting a little bit more overwhelmed. I pray we are in this super abundant, overflowing, beyond, above everything, and even more grace. How incredible it is. Rejoicing as the Lord just continues to expand our lives, truly. It's Him that does it. We're this wineskin that ever He increases. And it's with joy and thanksgiving we come to God. And I thank the Lord that the grace that we're coming into and that understanding that's always been there. Because the Word of God says He's given us all grace. And that's just, it's so marvelous. And it's for all things. And we're so grateful to God. And it's always. And so right there he's expressing to us, I've given you everything. I give it to you for everything, and I give it to you always for everything. It's so marvelous, and the Word of God is so there isn't anything like it because it's the Word of God, and those are the promises of God which are yea and amen, and they work effectually or like dynamite in them that believe. And if we're having trouble with this, if you're still looking at who you are or listening to what people say about you, ask the Lord, Lord, let me hear you. Let me hear your word. Let this work effectually in me to truly praise you. This is the worship. This is what He wants. This is the thanksgiving to God. Not what you could bring, but what He's done, what He's given, what He's promised. This all grace that we've been bestowed, this time that we have, that we know that everything that we go through, every bit of our lives, all things, always having all sufficiency to superabound to every good work. That's your life in Christ. It's not somebody else's. It's not, again, that's the reality of it. That's your reality. That's the truth. Everything else that would come to you to minister something different is a lie. See, His word is true. It's not how you feel. It's not how the enemy gets you in a place. It's not even what you think. It's what the Word of God says. And I thank the Lord. Here we are to respond and to believe this precious truth. And the Lord, in all of this immensity of grace, He's placed us in a scripture today, which is truly the greatest evidence and proof, the greatest evidence and proof of grace working in our lives. And yes, it's right here in James. Those that know the Word of God, you know, I've heard it. I heard it in this place sometimes growing up, ones that didn't really understand. And I will say it just like that. You know, James is a little bit different. It's, you know, it tends to be a little bit legal. It's a little, no, it's not. It's the Word of God. And it's full of, just like everything else in the Word of God is, it's full of grace and truth, because this is the Word of God. And I thank the Lord, I appreciate that God has us in a place that we know that this overflows with this wonderful grace, because we're in a place where the Word is rightfully divided. I want you to understand this, and this is what the enemy will always do, and what people do that want to be evil to you, and they do this, and I've had people do this to me recently, and it's sad, and I do pray for them, because again, I thank the Lord. I stand upon the promises of God. But anybody can pull things out of context in what you say and bring a completely different meaning to something that you didn't at all mean to say. But it's interesting what's in the heart of man and what they want to go after to try to prove a point, which is really sad, because I don't believe that that's corresponding in any amount of love. That's the truth. We all have been there. But for God, we all will go there. But the Lord help us to be quickened and really understand this, brothers and sisters, that you're not, again, coming up against flesh and blood. It was just like the enemy tried to do with Jesus. With the enemy tried to pull things out of context, bring these things. But see, what happens with the Word of God, that's who Jesus is, and the Word of God rightfully divided, because that's who Jesus is, it always puts that filth down. And it does. So just stand upon it. And our sermon, praise God, it begins right here in James chapter 2, verse 26. And here we go. And this is the third of the last time it says this, even in this one chapter. It says, "For as the body, this body, without the spirit is dead." All right? So faith without works is dead also. Once again, I am going to tell you this. This is one of the most grace-filled verses in the Word of God, because we know the truth. Faith without works is dead. Now, it's glorious, brothers and sisters, because what the Lord is telling us here is something that we need to know. Now, if we just pulled this out of context and just read it, oh my goodness, we should be afraid. We should just live very fearfully. We should wonder about, what am I doing and how am I responding and what are my actions 24/7? But the interesting thing is that's not what I read in the Word of God. Matter of fact, everything I read in the Word of God tells me it's Him that's working in me, that I am His workmanship, that it's Christ that liveth in me, that now it's the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So, it, matter of fact, is put me and pulled me completely out and given me a whole new life, and it's His. Amen. Oh, yes, He has. That's that part of that good fight of faith, to understand how much love He loved you with, to actually, praise God, get inside you. This, we're born again. We're sons of God right now. I'm not trying to be a son of God. I'm not trying to, I'm holy. I'm fully righteous. We sit here, we talk about it all the time. I'm looking at human beings. When you're born, you know, you're born fully human being. You might have been tiny and you grow up, but you're fully human. Amen. And I thank the Lord, it's the seed that remains. He's put everything there. Every bit of what He wants us to be. Every bit. And He didn't shortchange some Christians. It's the same life. It's Jesus Christ. We all got the same one. And it's so gorgeous. And all it is this beautiful life that we have. Will we yield to this truth to hear it, to grow up? Will we allow this truth to work in us effectually to grow up fully? Praise the Lord. So faith without works is dead. And yes, you did hear me right. This overflows with grace because we know the Word of God. Because, praise the Lord, I thank God we know this Bible. If you come here, we know how faith works. And so we have to go over to Galatians chapter 5. And this is exactly how faith works. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For in Jesus Christ, in the Lord, Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. So it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter how or, again, anything about, in a way, your life. It's all about the blood of Jesus. That's why it starts out in Jesus Christ. So whether or not, you know, at this time, and we'll talk about this here in a minute, these ones that knew the Lord, whether they were circumcised or not, that didn't make you better. It didn't make you any more holy. Once you're in Christ, it's all done. All right? And it's going to be a life of it's either grace or works. It's grace or works. And by the grace of God, I thank the Lord. The Lord is very clear with us. He says, we don't grow in works and by more works. It says we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here's what this verse says. It says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. But here's what avails. Here's what profits you. Faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. Now, just real quick, these Galatians that Paul is writing to, they know the Lord. They know the Lord. And they'd come to take Jesus as Savior, and they were growing and running well even. There was the deep things of God were even being preached to them. Sounds a lot like here, amen? But what had happened was there were things that were going on within that they were starting to turn back to fleshly works. They were starting to turn back to things and deeds that they could do. And it's interesting because when Paul says here, faith worketh by love, he goes on to say right there in verse 7, you ran well. You were on the mark. You were in this grace. It was marvelous what you're doing. And he goes, who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? And what is he speaking about here? Faith, right? Without works is dead, and faith worketh by love. All right. Now, faith works by love, and if faith works by love, which we're told it does, amen, we can all agree. And we can understand that this is what Paul was getting back to. Honeys, it's not what you can do which is your faith. It's not about you checking boxes about how you lined up your life with the Ten Commandments. The Lord took the commandments and he took the ordinances and he nailed them to the cross. He took them out of the way. They were actually against you. They were. And that's not our benchmark of faith. See, I have the Lord living in my life. He's already completed that. I'm justified. Brother Ray was so sweetly to bring that up today. We're justified. I'm not trying to get justified. I'm not going to be justified. I'm justified. Praise the Lord. I'm born of God. I got his life. I've got his very perfect life. The word of God tells me that in that life, I don't commit sin, neither can I sin. That's the life that I have. And I can't get rid of that life because it's the seed that remaineth. I can't get that life out of me because it's the life that'll never be separated from the love of God. Amen. It's eternal and it's everlasting life. I look at those words and I don't see but, if, kind of, whatever, it's eternal and everlasting, and the only life that's eternal and everlasting is the life of Jesus. So I have that life, and it's not going to change. So what's going on here is Paul's telling them, now look here, honeys, you're running well, and you're running well because you're running in grace. You're obeying the truth, which is grace. And all that faith that the Lord is working in your life works one way. It works by love. It doesn't work by you coming forward and saying, well, I'm circumcised, or I did this today, or I kept that meal, or I didn't eat that food, or I did this and this and this and this. Matter of fact, if that's how we're starting to live our life as a Christian, you know what it tells you? You are not obeying the truth. I think we've gathered here today. I want to obey the truth. Do you not want to obey the truth? I want to obey the truth. I want the word of God to work effectually in me. I don't want to bring my mind into this. I want to have the word of God to work effectually in me. I want faith to pour out of my life. And the only way that faith is going to pour out of my life, it tells me right here, it's love. It's absolute, pure, beautiful love. And so if faith does work by love, then the evidence of the works of faith will reveal and they will show love. Amen? Amen. Amen. I've been around those that want to show me their faith and show me that work, but there was absolutely no love in it. I don't want to be that. And I will tell you this. You've done that. I've done that. God help us to stay away from that. And the Lord to quicken us and to chasten us immediately when we would lean to that. And I thank the Lord that the Apostle Paul was bold. And he went to him immediately. And you have to think how bold he was. He was going back earlier on, talking to ones like Peter and Barnabas. Those guys had reputations. Paul, we've been in this longer than you have. Who do you think you are? And all he's saying is, looking, I'm standing on the grace of God. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you going? Nothing's changed. This is the beautiful grace of God. This is not going to make you feel better just for a moment, but what's going to do is it's going to bring leanness to your soul. There'll be cold. I'm talking coldness coming in. God help us. We want to be melting on these pews. The Holy Ghost fire inspiring us, this love and thankfulness to God for this wondrous, amazing, beautiful, incredible, all-powerful grace. Amen. So you look here and you say, well, amen. Then faith must be motivated by love. Huh. See, these guys, their faith was motivated by what they could work. Don't make this hard. It's Jesus in me that wants to will and do of his good pleasure. I don't want to come out here and be a mess. I don't. But it's love that motivates that. It's not fear. It's not pride. It's not, I want to be this benchmark for you of how to live your life. No way. Remember, they were walking down here today. You got your shoes. I don't want them. They stink with you just like mine stink with me. But they're beautiful because that's a fragrance to him that is the most beautiful thing there is. It's yours. That's kind of beautiful. Praise the Lord. So faith must be motivated by love, and faith must manifest love. So it has to be motivated by love and manifest love, or it's dead. It's dead. And see, that perfectly aligns, brothers and sisters, I know most of us know this, with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a beautiful, wonderful chapter in the Word of God. But there's a specific point about faith in there. It says that we could have faith to move mountains. And I really do want to have faith to move mountains. I do. I want to have absolute non-wavering faith in the Lord. But it says that I could have that faith, but if I don't have love in that faith, it's profitless. It's empty. There's no power in it. Matter of fact, this is what it's speaking here. It would be a dead work. A dead work. Once again, I want you to think about Paul writing this to the Galatians. They were bringing works of their flesh that they could do and how they were checking boxes to live their lives. But it wasn't motivated by the love of God. It was just something like you were doing out of automation. And I walk like this, and I hold my Bible like this, and I go to church like this. That's not how we work. That's not how love works. Love works just like what I'm seeing out here today. You can't explain it. Why the Lord loves any of us. And here we come out of all these different walks of life. We all look different. But we're here for the one praise, the one rejoicing, the one thanksgiving. I marvel at him. I thank God for you, but it's all him, isn't it? Amen? But we see how perfect this fits in with. So see, faith without love is empty. And there is no work or profit whatsoever in checking boxes that I want you to see my faith. Faith, praise God, that testifies love. Is what is profitable. Amen. That testifies love. Think of all those beautiful testimonies of faith that testify love. That's the testimony truly of faith, is it's love. One of the greatest examples is so sweet to read this week again, is the prodigal. You know, he comes back, and the testimony was that he knew he was loved. He didn't come back to show that he was faithful. He didn't come back to show that anything. He knew his dad loved him. But see, he'd been away so long, he didn't realize how much his daddy loved him. He didn't realize what his father had been waiting there for since the foundation of the world to show you how much he loves you. And you know, it's all about a feast, don't we, sister? It's always about this strong meat feast, isn't it? He's been waiting for us. And see, that's the faith he loves. I don't come here to show my brilliance in the truth or show how much I know. I come here because, man, I know he loves me. He loves me so much. He does. He wants to marry me. He's like he wants to marry you. It's why you're here. And I thank the Lord. That's the testimony of that faith. And just like that prodigal, you know, he had to get past what everybody thought of him. Oh, you wasted your life, or, you know, maybe you ran well for a time and, you know, you're discarded. You know, obviously he had one real close to him, his brother. His brother didn't like it at all. How dare you? How dare you think the Father loves you like that? You know he loves you, don't you? He loves you. And it wasn't because you worked for it. It wasn't because you did anything. Matter of fact, he allows you to do lots of stupid things and bad things and all of these things because he has to show us, honeys, I just love you. We talk about it all the time. It didn't have to be, but it had to be. And it will never stop because we're sheep. We're stupid. And we forget. We get our head in a fence all the time. We're in this pasture that's knee-deep clover, and we're thinking, oh, I've got to get to the other side. I watch those horses by my house all the time. It's like, they're throwing the food out for you, and you're sticking your head through the fence to get that grass. What are you doing? Brothers and sisters, we fight a good fight of faith with the love of Christ. With the love of Christ. That's how we fight a good fight of faith. And it's love, and it's his love for us. This is, I want to really make sure we understand this. It's because he first loved us. And that's the reason we love him. But the love of God is the motivator of everything real in our lives. Everything. Everything. When you're loved, you're thankful. You know, we're back to that thankfulness again. When you're loved, it's joyful. And kind of like the Lord was just bringing out earlier today, when you're loved by somebody who shouldn't have anything to do with you, man, it's so spectacular. And then you think, but this is God we're talking about. And not only did he love me, this is the very plan of love that he set up from beginning. And he's given me every provision in his great love, which is his son. And then he gives us this Holy Ghost power. And I appreciated that about Brother Golden. He says that gives me this knower. I know, I know, I know, I know. It's a knower. And I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able. See, he's able. I'm not able. See, I'm not one of these guys coming to him and say, well, you know, I'm circumcised or I'm not circumcised or whatever the check of the box is. I don't do that. I know that he is well able to perform that which I've committed unto him. See, we understand the performance. We understand what he wants for us. We understand this precious bridal message. We understand by the grace of God, we are here to grow up into him in all things. But I understand that in that calling, I have to give it to him to perform. That he'll do it. That I can't. So we fight this wonderful good fight of faith with the love of Christ. And we believe God. We believe God because he loves us. I don't believe God because I have to. I don't believe God because I'm going to get something from God. I don't believe God because I believe I'm just going to get more favor for him and from him, and he's going to do more things for me. I believe God because I love him. That's why I believe him. And the reason I believe him because I love him is because I know he loves me. And once again, as we grow through love naturally, the very first ones we understand who loves us is our parents. And you trust them. And I'm talking about in what should be, you know, the nurturing and all of those different things. And then you have as well, too, you have best friends. You have all of these different things as you grow on, your family, you know, your siblings, all of that. And it gets very precious. But it's amazing the love and the trust and the confidant that happens with a spouse. No one should know you like your spouse does. And I will tell you, no one knows you like Jesus does. And then if you'll allow that revelation to come into your heart, his whole purpose is to know him and to know his love and to know everything about him and this desire that he has. Amen. So we trust him because we believe him. His undeserved love works in us and performs every good work, and he wills and does of his good pleasure in us. Now, and I love this, I know that I have this flesh that doesn't always want to behave. I'm not always good. There's a lot of people that would say that's true. But I understand, now I'm talking about you now, that you can be very set in your ways. And our flesh, you know what it has? It has tendencies. Every one of our flesh has addictions. We're addicted to things. Don't think you're not. And I'll tell you this. It's not going to change unless the Lord deems to change it. The Lord has to change it. And so what happens, though, is when the Lord deems not to take something out of my life, what do I do? What do I do when the Lord has that thorn that he doesn't remove from my side? What do I do when that comes upon me? But what do I do not to allow sin to reign upon my life? It's love. It's love. It's the truth. Now, going back to spouses and marriage and all of that, when you know, there's a couple right there on the front. I love to talk about Amber because she loves me to talk about her in front of everybody. You can send me bad letters later. But I love her and she loves me. But I... you think about, you're still the same people. You're different, but yet you're still the same. And you love one another. You come together and yet, you know, Stephen didn't change to be something completely different. Amber didn't change to become something completely different. But love motivates. Love causes us to do things that we never would. And it's not to fake. It's not just to make peace. I'm not saying that probably wouldn't be a good thing at times. But it's because you love that person. And yet you know what's still ingrained in you. But you know that I can't help but do this because I love her. Or I love him. I pray this is getting somewhere today. But see, love conquers. Love conquers. And love controls things. And love will cause you to fight like no other thing. Love brings conviction. Love will stop you in your tracks. It doesn't mean that you're going to live some perfect outward appearance of a life, but it does mean that there is a perfect love in your heart that is always fighting. always fighting. That's what an overcomer is. That's why the Lord loved David so much. David, I know you, and you're a man after my God, after my own heart. And I know your life, son, because I drew it in ages past. Every before dang good work that you're going to walk through. You're going to have all of these triumphs, and then you're going to have the failures that are going to be so embarrassing, so hurtful, so awful. You'll want to take your life. You'll want to end your life. All these things that could happen. Could happen. And yet, you know what? That love is going to see you through. It's going to have you rise above it. It's going to conquer all these things. It's not going to make you callous and, you know, cavalier and say, well, I can do anything I want. Oh, no, not at all. For a moment, he was kind of being that way with Bathsheba, but the Lord in his truth and his word came in there, struck his heart, and he knew. But he didn't go sitting into that place of, oh, my gosh, my life is done. He took his time with the Lord. The Lord encouraged him. He fed, and he arose. And he became that man, and he became that king, and he became that ruler. And he became, praise God, even more of a lover than he ever could have been. Now, some might live a life to behave seemingly imperfect. I'm going to tell you something. Those lives, most times, I see as the coldest, most condescending, most unloving lives there are. And I pray for those lives because I know that they have that tendency too. And what happens is they begin to look at you and wonder why you can't do it like them. That was in here somewhat for some time. I commend you, saints. I don't believe it is. Oh, there must be heresies. I understand that. But I'll tell you what, I still want to meditate on the lovely and the good report. So I'm glad that Jesus didn't come to me like that. How about you? See, he came to save me, not to judge me. He came to love me. Oh, yes, he did. And I'm so thankful because I'm pretty unlovable at times. And I thank God that he came to love us. I'm talking about the base ones and the lowly ones. And he came to strengthen and inspire us by letting us know that he loves us. So if he did that for us, how do you think I'm going to be used of him to strengthen and inspire you? By hammering you? By telling you how bad you are? By telling you what you need to do, or by loving you in the truth and encouraging you. Amen? Now, brothers and sisters, as we close this up, the Lord lets us know that we're perfect to him. I love to encourage you that you're wonderfully and fearfully made for him. I do. It's not to butter you up. It's to tell you the truth. That the Lord made you perfect for him. Perfect for him. That he made you perfectly unperfect for him. All those voids and all of that stuff that's not perfect, he fits in there perfectly. It just comes together. It's complete. See, I'm complete in him. Amen. Amen. And you know the word of God in me? It completes him too. Isn't that something? That's how much grace he is. Because grace has to come in and complete. Mercy has to come in and anoint. Amen. He fills me completely up, and you know what? I fill him up too. So, that's the love, brothers and sisters, that he loves us with. He sees us perfectly, but yet we know, even in spite of all of our issues and our faults and all these things, he's put a crown in my hand today. Yes, he has. In spite of all that, he still gave me a crown. He didn't say, Jess, I want you to have a palm. Uh-uh. I have to lay the crown down to take the palm. Know that. You're born to reign, not to serve. But see, that's the beautiful thing, is that that's the love that he has for me. And that love for me, that is my faith. My faith is in his love. All these promises that he gives us, all grace and everything, the only way he could ever give that is because he loves me. For God so loved the world, he gave. The Lord always have us to be quickened to go back to understand the whole basis of everything. He just loves us. Can't earn anything, merit, all been given, all of these wonderful things. And that's my faith. That's the motivator of everything. That's the quickening power of everything. When I happen to be in a place where, you know, thank you, Lord, for making that right decision in my life. That's love. Love isn't when I say, well, you know what, I made that decision and I'm such a fine Christian. That's the guy that was over there trying to compare himself amongst himself, among the other Christians, trying to get them wrapped up in legality too. You're free indeed. You're free indeed. So, brothers and sisters, this is what is so beautiful. It's his love that works. And I thank God, and I do. And that working love and all the evidence of faith, it's all over the place in here. And I thank the Lord for it. And let it just keep going. Live your life before him. But live your life before him. I always appreciate my daddy. He said, don't try to be anybody else, son. And that was just naturally. Just be who God made you. Don't try to mimic somebody. Don't try to do this. You know what? You're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine. How much just fine are you going to be, son of God? How much natural talent do you have with the DNA of Jesus in you, huh? Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm not real smart. I got myself stuck on the house yesterday without a ladder, without a phone, and nobody was home. If we only had a movie of that for 45 minutes, me dragging a ladder over on the roof trying to figure out how I was going to get down. My stupidity amazes me. My brother's just sitting here probably shaking his head saying, oh man, I saw it all the time when you were a baby. But here we go. The joy of the Lord is our fellowship. And God help us to even grow more into being spiritual, restoring one another in the darkest of times. That I thank the Lord as the Lord, he said, as David said to him, yea, Lord, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there with me. I couldn't even count how many cups of cold water you've brought me. Amen. That's faith, brethren. That's the faith that works by love. And I love you. By the grace of God, I'll stand with you in the truth. In the truth. In the grace of God. And see, that is it. That is the faith that is alive and that's living and working. Because it's the love of Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I'll wait. I'll wait for you. I just wait for you. Anoint Jesus as only you can. In Jesus' name.
Put you in it to dance with you. I am coming soon. I love you, and I can't wait to be with you for eternity.
Father, we thank you.
Do just lift up the name of Jesus today. Thank you again how you encourage us, that we know that it is your work and we are your workmanship. And Lord, thank you, this great love wherewith we're loved, that we're growing up into it more and more, and to know the love of Christ, to know how all-powerful it is. And Lord, you haven't given us a spirit of fear. Help everyone here today not to fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Because, Lord, that is the faith that you have given us, the faith of the Son of God. Father, thy will be done. And it will be done. You will perform the good work which you've begun in us. You will accomplish in the thing that you have sent. You will perform. It's your purpose. And so in that, I thank the Lord that we stand and withstand. And having done all, we just stand, praise God, on the promise that we are loved. And we thank you today, Jesus. Thank you for increasing faith. Thank you for speeding up our going. Thank you, Lord God, for causing us not to waver, but to stand upon the promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen.